We learn that Jesus said one last word, and he directs himself to the Father. It's Luke 23:46, which is a text for the message tonight. But I'm going to read from 44 to 49. Luke chapter 23, 44 to 49. This is God's word. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, in your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. So far God's word. Let's pray. Lord, help us to contemplate the cross and help us to understand this last word of the cross, a word of victory, a word of comfort, a word, O Lord, of assurance for our faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. After around 15 hours in the hands of wicked men, Jesus died. He was arrested what is believed to be around midnight, the night before, spent the night in jail, was questioned, interrogated, and then sentenced to the cross. During these 15 hours, Jesus suffered. We believe that the Calvary, when we speak of it, the Calvary suffering, was the suffering of being bound as a criminal, of being falsely accused, of being beaten, of being flogged, spat upon, mocked, vilified, and finally crucified. The whole 15 hours. And we see Jesus' countenance as he suffers all of this. He didn't respond to his accusers, to the falsehoods that they were raising. He stands in humble authority before Pilate when Pilate says, "Do you know that I have authority to release you? Tell me." And Jesus says, "You wouldn't have authority from heaven, wouldn't have been given to you." And Pilate, the Roman authority, the man who had indeed the power of life and death in human terms, trembled. In his way to the cross, he consoles some women who were crying for him. He said, "Don't cry for me, cry for Jerusalem, because punishment is coming." When he's led to the cross, he speaks words of forgiveness, of mercy, of love, but also words of suffering. Like, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," and "I thirst." Two difficult words at the cross. "Why have you forsaken me, Father?" And "I thirst." But then, as it was the ninth hour, and the ninth hour is 3 p.m. 3 p.m. The clouds gathering over them, the sunlight was not seen anymore. It was a somber mood. he breathed his last. Not before saying first, I have concluded, I have fulfilled, my work is full. But before he breathed his last, he says, verse 46, Luke 43, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. These are the words of Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 5, have these exact words. You don't need to read it now. I recommend you to read it home. It's a psalm of David. It's a psalm of suffering. It's a psalm of suffering. It's a psalm of the one who is being unjustly persecuted, who have been vilified. They're lying against him. They're lying in wait to kill him. It's a psalm of suffering. But there are a lot of trust in the Lord in this psalm. And one of the words of trust of David is verse 5 when it says, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. And those are the words that Jesus, who was the one giver of the word, giver of scripture, the one who revealed scripture to David, the one who now quotes himself like David did 1,000 years before, giving himself. These words are very meaningful because these words, they imply two things very, very important to us. The first implied that Jesus was not punished as a criminal and died without a choice. They imply that he offered his life. It was a voluntary offering. And then secondly, it means that he didn't deserve to die. If it was voluntary, it means that he didn't deserve to die. And that is very important for us. And there's no way of celebrating the Resurrection Sunday if you don't understand that Jesus' death was not an accident. It was not an unplanned thing that was, you know, turned around with a resurrection. It was planned all along. Jesus knew that he was going to die. He announced it to his disciples. And despite man crucified him as a criminal, he died in control because he offered himself voluntarily. So he didn't die as a criminal. However, many believed that he was a criminal and didn't really consider his death of any significance. There is a document that is part of the Talmud. The Talmud is a sacred writing of the Jews. It is the sacred interpretation of the law of God. It is considered almost semi-word of God. Almost. It is a collection of writings. And one of the writings is called Sanhedrin. In Sanhedrin 43a, verse 20, they mention Jesus. They say, on the Passover Eve, they hung the corpse of a Jesus of Nazareth after they kill him by way of stoning. And a crier went out before him for 40 days, publicly proclaiming, Jesus the Nazarene is going out to be stoned because he practiced sorcery, incited people to idol worship, and led the Jewish people astray. Anyone who knows of a reason to acquit him should come forward and teach it on his behalf. And the court did not find a reason to acquit him. And so they stoned him and hung his corpse on Passover Eve. Do you see the lie? Do you see the lie? This is a document that is dated of around year 50 before Christ. It's one of the non-biblical references that we have to Jesus. He's taken as a sorcerer, an idolater, a liar and deceiver. And they say that he was stoned, meaning he was punished according to the law of Moses, for those sins that are called abomination. You remember well, the sins of abomination are the ones that were stoned. That's what they spread out. And after stoned him, he was crucified. But perhaps to me, the biggest lie here is that they kept him for 40 days, giving him a just trial, announcing and going about. Because this chapter of the Talmud is about how a man should be first given the chance to defend himself and having a crier. A crier is one that would defend him, going about and saying, they're going to kill this man. Can you say anything to acquit him? They're going to kill this man. Do you have any testimony that would free him? This is the chapter that this is about. And they say for 40 days there was a crier that went out. And we know that this is not true because his death was rushed. They tried to do things quickly. Overnight. Literally overnight. Didn't give him any chance. He was dead from the beginning, as we say. But he was not defeated because he was in control. When Pilate challenges him and says, I have authority to kill you or let you free. And he says, look, if I wanted, I would ask my Father in heaven and he would send legions of angels and they would free me. But he didn't do that. And we know why. You know why. Sometime before that, Jesus said this. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and will find pasture. The thief comes only and steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. So no one, pay attention, verse 18 of John 10, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Some interpreting what happened in the cross, they said Jesus was actually so weak because he was always constantly fasting. He was, of course, in the tension of the moment, and he had been beaten, and he had like a frail appearance. He was not very healthy. He only lasted 6 hours. Bible says that he was hanged on the cross around the third hour. Around, doesn't mean exactly, but around 9 or 10 in the morning. And he stood there until the ninth hour. Let's say 6 hours the most. While it is normal for someone that is crucified to die in no less than 24 hours. It's rare that one crucified would die in less than 12. And because the following day was a holiday, the two men that were laying by Jesus' side had to have their legs broken to speed up the process. Because the person who dies on the cross dies by asphyxiation when the muscles here are closed up and the person loses breath at last. So some will say, see, Jesus was so weak. He was so beat up. He was so... No, Jesus didn't die fast because he was weak. He died because it was finished. It was fulfilled. And then he gives his own life because he had authority to give his life or take. And he's giving his life voluntarily. If he didn't give his life, he wouldn't have authority to take it back 2 days later. Of course, if one doesn't believe in the Word, one will create all sorts of theories and blame. But this is what Scripture says. That he with power gave up his life voluntarily and then took it back. When he gave his life, he was without sin. Hebrews says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. The same Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 20-21, he says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled with God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It doesn't mean that Christ experienced sin, but means that he experienced the punishment of sin for us. However, he died blameless as the good shepherd, laying his life for us. Someone could say, what are we doing here today, Pastor? I mean, let's go up to Sunday and think of resurrection. Well, what we're about to do is what this is all about. Because we remember when Jesus celebrated the Lord's Supper the night before, he says, this is my body that is broken. This is my blood that is shed, that is poured out for you for the remissions of sins. And he said, do it in remembrance of me. What better day to remember, if not the day that he died 2,000 years ago, to remember his death? We don't remember with shame. We don't remember suffering because he was defeated. If it pains ourselves, it pains, and it should pain ourselves because of his love. The love of the one who was in control, who didn't need to suffer, but who voluntarily gave himself for us. I want to finish my short message here with the words of John 13:1, when he says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them in the end. That's how Jesus loves you and I. He loves us to the end. Until it's fulfilled, until it's complete. His work is not halfway, not two-thirds. You have been saved by a Savior who gave entirely for himself to make sure that you are going to cross the finish line if you trust him.
not by your merits, it's not by your qualities, it's not by your skills. It's by Christ, because He gave His life. And if you trust Him, despite your sins, you will cross the finish line and go to glory because of the merits of Jesus Christ. It's by grace. It's grace that was manifested in suffering love. And that's what we remember today. As we prepare ourselves for the celebration of the Lord's Supper,